Ancient of days, the lily and the valley, the rock of ages, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord our strength. We thank you this evening, Lord, for bringing us into your house. Sammy said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, we appreciate you for your grace upon our lives, Lord, that you put a burden in our hearts to come and serve you. Lord Jesus, I stand here as your child. I do not have anything good about me. I don't have any word to give your people. And Lord Jesus Christ, submit myself unto you, Lord, that you take hold of my lips. Father God, do not allow me to say anything contrary to your word, Father. May your grace, O Heavenly Father, Lord, take a hold of me. I render every spirit that is contrary to your truth subject to the authority of God. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that your righteousness will prevail even as we hear your word, O Father, that the truth, the present truth, Father God, that you have given unto us will be received. Heavenly Father, we pray that you help us, Lord, to give up our own ideas, to give up our own understanding, to lean not on our own ideas, O Father. As your Holy Spirit shall minister, Father, may you give us the humbleness of heart to receive your word the way it is, O Father. We thank you, we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before we sit down, I want to say good evening to every one of you, brothers and sisters. I feel a little bit nervous, and I feel that it's my first time to speak here in this church. Brother Simon Peter sent a text message to me. I was at work today, that he wants me to come and speak for Brother Elijah today. So, this message, actually, I'm speaking on, I prepared it to speak to the church in Bridgeport, because I received instruction from Brother Paul Amozu, who is the deacon, that I should speak to Bridgeport Church. So they had to cancel the church over there so that I can come and speak to you. I did not prepare it originally for you, but the Lord wants me to, you know, speak it here first. And I pray that you forgive me and keep me in prayers, because I'm a practicing person under Brother Samuel Peter. I do not understand the scripture yet. I don't understand the message. I submit everything I am doing to him, and I pray that you keep me in prayers. Let's read from the book of James. James chapter 4, verse 7. Read verse 7 and verse 10. James chapter 4, I read from verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. May the Lord add blessing to his word in Jesus' name. Shall we be seated, please? The topic I want to speak on is submission. Here, verse 7, scripture says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The word submission means to yield to someone's control or authority, to be obedient or respectful to authority. You either resist or resent, or you despise an authority when you fail to submit. Those are the opposites of submission. If you don't submit, you are resisting, or you are resenting the authority, or you are despising the authority. And when you fail to submit, to submit does not really make you inferior. It shows you understand the laws of power. And also it shows that you know how to prosper. It's a law of prosperity. There's a law God put in to run nature. There's a law of production. Even for us to stay here on earth, it's a law of gravity that's holding us on earth. So there is a law that runs the earth. There are many, many laws. In the fourth dimension, the prophet taught us that science operates in the fourth dimension. And those laws also they discover about the world. They are all put there by God. So science is not discovering anything new. Everything that they are discovering has already been put there. At the law of gravity, science does not make law of gravity. When we sit down in a car and we put our seat belts, there's a law they call law of inertia, which the police don't want when maybe we get into accidents for people to flip out of their cars and hurt themselves. So they want us to put the law. They put a law in this country where we have to put the seat belt. We make our children also have, make them safe in the car seats. For here, it is very important, and I see how safe it is in this nation, like in Africa, where laws are not much enforced. Many accidents, when people get accidents, they die in the accidents. And sometimes they say, well, it's God. But I don't think God is the one that is telling the people not to use their seatbelt, because those that made the cars, they put laws in place to run the car. You cannot put, for example, a water in a gasoline tank and you expect a car to run. There's a law that runs an automobile. So there are laws guiding everything. So if we say we do not obey law, we do not believe in laws, then we are not really operating with God. We are against God, because God is lawful. God believes in law. Praise the living God. Some people say, well, okay, the grace of God has appeared to us, and so we can do anything we want. The grace of God, the scripture says, the grace of God has appeared to us, teaching us to what? So grace of God has appeared to us to teach us so that we will obey the word of God. The grace of God has not appeared to us so that we can disobey God's word. The grace of God has appeared to us to give us strength so that we can submit ourselves to God. So that is what the grace of God is for. The grace of God is not to destroy the law. Jesus Christ said that I have come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the laws. And so the submission is a law. I'm just laying this background statement for us to know that submission is a law that we should obey if we understand authority. There are some notes here I put down. The definition of submission, I went into the dictionary and I found the Hebrew meaning of the word submission, NYJA, meaning humility, and they say also obeisance. Submission also means obeisance, or it means subjection. It is derived from the word submit, which is a verb meaning to serve or apply or present or bring near. In etymology, which is the origin of words, submission is to place oneself under the control of another, or yield oneself to an authority of an individual of influence. That's what submission is. So in Latin, submitter means, in Latin they call it submitter, which means to yield or lower or let down or put under or reduce. It stems from two words, make the word submitter. Sub means under, and meter means let go. So we have to understand the root word of submission for us to be able to really accept submission. Some of children today, they are struggling while they are growing up because they missed this law of submission. And some families are struggling because they missed the law of submission. And in families, when Paul was teaching in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, submit to one another first, before he said, wives, submit to your husband. But the first concept, many husbands who wants to become so bossy over their family, they don't even quote that at all in their family meetings. They will just say to their wives, wives, submit to your husband. But the first aspect of it is that submit to one another. And then he said, wives, submit to your own husband. That means that as couples, there are some certain times wherein the husband also needs to submit to the wife. And there are certain times where the wives are supposed to submit to the husband. But in many instances, most of the times, the wife is supposed to submit to the husband, because the husband types like Christ, like the church. The church is a wife, and Jesus Christ is a husband man. So Jesus Christ does not submit to the church. He just redeems the church, but he doesn't submit to the church, so to speak. But what we want to say here is that we have to understand position also. This law will also teach us position. So even if you think you have a gift as a child, or you have a gift as a wife, or you have a gift as a worker, if you understand this law, you will help yourself. You will save yourself from trouble. You will save yourself from a lot of quarrels and a lot of fighting and a lot of depression, because you understand a simple law. And because you understand this law also, it can help you to even be able to operate well with the government authorities, not only in the church, but even with government authorities. So when we, as little child, before children, when we are coming up, we have influences we often submit to, because every life begins with God. I'm going to read the message later to understand, so let us understand that every life begins from God. So we start with God. So that's, Brother Brown said, there's a law of production. That's why even when Cain was born, he said, well, we have got a child from the Lord. Because Brother Brown said, it's a law of production. It's a law of production. So every life starts from God. But that does not mean that it's the true seed of God. There's a wrong seed, and there is a true seed. So it doesn't really matter whether it's a wrong seed or is a true seed, if all of them have the same atmosphere to germinate and grow, they will grow together. So they all grow under the same atmosphere, which is the law of God. And so we begin with God, and God gives children to their parents. And then the first influence we have is God, because God protects us from the womb. And then when we come out, we fall under the influence of our parents. They begin to lead us. We submit to them. The parents will help us in everything we are doing. We submit to our parents. So that is why most of the times when we are on earth here, we carry our family spirits upon us. Because our family is the first influence, is the first leadership that we find ourselves under. So the parents lead you. Whether you are coming up as a child and you do not believe that the parents are your leaders, but in actual sense that once somebody is your parent, that person has assumed leadership over you already. So the parents are the first leaders we have. Then when we grow up a little bit, to a certain age, our peers begin to influence us. Now sometimes your peer group begins to step in, to influence you. Then later on, they send people to school, and the school also begins to influence us. And then we submit to the authorities in the school, and also we have, after that, maybe we have government. When we reach maybe 17, 18 years now, the government begin to really pay attention to you, that you are following the rules and the laws of the land, so that you are submitting to the laws of the land. Now, submission, today people say that they have so much right, and they don't believe in submission. So because of that, we have seen a lot of people being incarcerated and a lot of people getting into prison, getting into problem with the law, because they think, well, they have a right, so therefore they can speak arrogantly to the police, or they have a right, so therefore they can speak arrogantly to the employing authorities, and because they have a right, so therefore they can just stay home and even don't work, and they can get food to eat because they have a right. But I mean, there is a law for everything. Bible says that if you are a sluggard, you are not even supposed to eat. Praise the living God. So we also have to understand that we later on from there, we get into employment, and we are supposed to submit to our employers. And then when we get into marriage, we are supposed to submit to our spouses. Husband, submit to your wife. And wife, submit to your husband. So we have these influences in our lives as we grow up. Even if you are single, but you should know that still you are under submission. At the point when you are single, if you are matured yet, you are not fortunate to have a partner yet, Christ is your husband, man. Christ is your partner. That's why your body doesn't belong to anybody else. Your body belongs to Christ. Amen. Praise the living God. When you get married now, your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to your partner. And then it belongs to Christ. That's why we are not supposed to defile ourselves. We submit our members to Christ. And we submit also our members to our partners. Praise the living God. So important points to remember here is that submission is similar to respect for authority. The woman with a blood issue, he respected Christ Jesus in her spirit. Sometimes even for you to get your healing, you have to submit to spiritual powers. You have to submit to God. God will appear to you. But if you despise him, if you are critical about your divine healing, you cannot receive it. Even if your pastor prays for you, but you remain critical, you may be living a moral life, but if your mind is clogged up, because the mind is like a womb, so your mind has to be willing to receive what God is offering to you, to yield yourself to the Holy Ghost. The woman with the blood issue, she respected Jesus Christ in her spirit. She said to herself, not her brother told her that, the priest did not tell her that, and then nobody else told her that. Why? intuition. She received it. That was a great respect she attached to Jesus Christ. If only she could touch the hem. Not the whole garment, but the hem of his garment. It will be made whole. That kind of respect, if we can only have it, we will not stay in our situations. Because that woman, we don't even know what caused the problem on her. You know, what led to her. Jesus Christ is not like the physicians we have in the hospital. When you go to them, they want to know what caused your disease, and they want to know if you have a medical insurance or this and that. But that woman, because she had respect for Jesus in her spirit, she approached the Lord Jesus Christ, virtue left Jesus. Jesus did not ask her for health insurance. Jesus did not ask her her family history. What is the problem about her? She did not ask the virtue. Because Christ is connected to faith. When Brother Abraham was here performing divine healing, atheists will come in the line and they will receive their divine healing because they were in their homes, maybe they receive a testimony from their friends then that the prophet of God is praying for people, and they saw maybe their relatives had got the sickness, and they saw that sickness for a long time, and that person went to Brother Abraham's meeting and got a healing, and when they came and told this testimony, they saw that I received my healing from the meeting of the prophet. So right, they would say, okay, me too, I'm going there. If this problem was solved, when you went there, I'm also going there. Because when they are going there, now their spirit man already is submissive to the prophet in their minds. The people will be in that there who have been Christians, they have been reading the Bible, but they are critical about the prophet. Their problems don't get solved. The people have not been going to church, but when they come in the prayer line, they receive their healing because they already submitted to the prophet in their spirit realm. And God does not even judge whether you have been going to church or not. All God wants to know if you have met the requirement for your healing. Praise the living God. And so when they came into the prayer line, they were getting their healings because they respected the prophet in their spirit. And also, we can see that submission are people who submitted to Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ referred to them that the people had greater faith. There was a woman who was a Canaanite woman whose daughter was sick. He approached the Lord and then with worry. And then the Lord told him her that you cannot give the children's bread to dogs. That statement, if it was in our generation, we would say that word, a religious leader cannot utter such kind of statement. Maybe YouTube will pick it up, or maybe CNN will pick it up, or maybe BBC will pick it up. Oh, this is an arrogant statement. This statement is is weird. And people like that, that's why you see people who are in that situation, they cannot receive divine healing anymore. See, like the nation like this now that has reached in that critical state that they have now CNN trying to despise God's children. They have BBC, which is trying to make coverage of God's children. And they are so critical about the things of God, divine healing will not happen in their midst anymore. They are so critical about the things of God. So God cannot visit them in that situation. God cannot visit them in that kind of condition because they do not respect God. They are very much callous in their minds. They don't think that God can operate anymore. But God is a divine authority. The servants of God, there's no arrogance in Christ. Praise the living God. But Jesus Christ has the authority to rebuke you. And Jesus Christ has the authority to say words that are unusual. The prophets of God can say words that are unusual. Praise the living God. What can you say about John the Baptist when he said, you generation of vipers? If it is in this generation, they will sue him. Praise the living God. They will say that was an arrogant statement.
That statement is unlawful. But that was a prophet of God. There's no arrogance in the prophets. What they are saying, they speak the mind of God. They discern the people's spirit, and they speak words addressing their problems. So Jesus Christ, when he spoke like that to the Canaanite woman, testing her spirit, and the woman, she submitted. She has so much respect for Christ. He said, even the crumbs, the dogs can eat from it. In actual fact, we who are Gentiles, we are like dogs because we return to your vomit, you return to. So the old man was not offended. You know, she was not offended. So she was very respectful to the Lord. And because she spoke kindly to the Lord, Jesus said, I have not found a faith like this. So people who submitted to the Lord referred to them as people who are respectful and people who have greater faith. Because a woman must have, if she was like people in our generation, she would have despised her opportunity. Maybe the child would have died in the sickness. There was another man also who came to the Lord, the centurion man. He also came, wanted to heal him for the child. And then while he approached the Lord, and then he respected the Lord so much that he said, well, you don't have to go to my house, sir. I am a man under authority. I say to this man, go, and go, and I say to the other one, come, and they come. You just speak the word, it will come to pass. That man, in his mind, in his spirit, he was already respectful to Christ. Maybe he had a testimony about Christ, or he has seen somebody who Christ has solved problems for. So he came with respect in his spirit. There's nothing that can be offensive. There's nothing that can scare him away. There's nothing that can intimidate him. There's nothing absolutely. And Jesus Christ said that I have not seen a faith like this. So people always who have been respectful, Christ referred to them as people that have greater faith. So submission is a greater faith. It's not inferiority. Sometimes the devil will attack your mind as a wife, that if you submit to your husband, you are being inferior. That's what I hear people are saying. And if you are a child, you are coming up, you are submit to the leadership of your parent, that is like you are being inferior. But that is a misplacement of words. Submission is not inferiority at all. Even in the dictionary, it's not inferiority. We are always submitting. When we are driving on the highway, you can't say, well, I'm a citizen. I can do anything I want. You can swap, you can drink and drive. The police officer will pull you over. And if the one police officer pull you over, he say, well, I can't submit myself. The police officer is telling you to give the license. He say, oh, well, I'm a citizen too here. I have the right to drive any kind of way. And if you do that, maybe another police will come, and the other police will come, and the other one will come. And if you don't be careful, when they will, instead of you just answering to the, if you had respected the one statement from the police maybe will let you go, or will not even give you, will forgive you for your crime, or will not even give you a ticket. You know, if you respected the police officer, because I know that they are also human beings. So they are, but Brother Brian said that when a police officer is on duty, he has the whole government behind him. Praise the living God. So that is why children of God must be respectful people. If you cannot say you are a child of God, you have the Holy Ghost, but you are arrogant to authority, that's an antichrist spirit in you. Praise the living God. So we are taught that we must also submit ourselves to our masters. Our employers, our masters. Praise the living God. And some people, they are being fired from their jobs, and they are being unemployed because they don't understand this concept when they were coming up, or when they go to church, they don't pay attention to this concept at all. Praise the living God. And the other day, where he was telling me, he said, the Bible, he said, which part of Bible do I read? I said, I read the King James Version most times because that's what my prophet was reading when he was preaching. He said, well, the King James Version has statements that are very hard. He said, because when you are addressing about masters, he says, slaves, obey to your masters. He said, well, if that statement, if I think it's correct, I say, yes. I said, when I go to work, you know why has saved me in this country? When I go to work, I consider myself as a slave to my employers. That's what because that's what the Bible says. That's what I believe. I don't believe your interpretation about it. I consider myself as a slave because my time is being controlled at that time by my supervisor. If my supervisor says, just get up from here and come over here, I get up and I come here because that's how I was coming up under my father too. If I am somewhere else and my father will yell my name to come, I hurry up and come. Praise the living God. So I have the same attitude also to my employers. As you know, I don't have my own will. Christ was submissive to the Holy Ghost. At Gethsemane, he said, not my will. The flesh, the body part of Jesus Christ. He was God in flesh. But his flesh, his body was subject to the Holy Ghost while he was here on earth. And the scripture said in Luke chapter 2, verse 46 to 51, that he was subject, when he was growing up, he was subject unto Mary and Joseph. And he grew up in wisdom, in favor before man and before God. So he was subject. To be submissive means to be subject. Praise the living God. Who can say, well, because we are Americans, we are living in the land of freedom, that means we are not subject to the law. Who can say that? We are subject to the law. So if you don't believe in law, you are not supposed to be a human. And you are not supposed to be living. So because laws are what run the world. So we have we see that the citizens are required to respect and submit to police officers because of the rule of law. Like I have said something about that. The other point I wrote down here as a background statement, the players in a ball game, for example, like in Africa when we are there, the soccer game is a big game there. Like we have a football here. I don't understand it much how it goes, but the soccer game, I understand how it goes. So in the soccer game, there are 11 players over here and 11 players over here. So, but when they are doing training, there is somebody who they call a coach. The coach is the one that will train all the members of the team. So the players may be more skillful than the coach in terms of really field activity. If they go on the field, maybe the coach is now a retired player. He doesn't play anymore. But he has idea. He has knowledge. He knows. He reads about the sport more than any of them. They have the gift. They have the talent. But while you are on the training, if you don't submit to the coach will even disqualify you from going to the playground where you have to really display your gift. So the coach is the leader. And when they are now in the field to play the ball game, there is a referee who is also the leader of the game. Both teams will listen to the referee. If you do something wrong and the referee gives you a yellow card, that's a warning, and then you keep doing it, they give you a red card, that's it, you're out of the game. Whether you are skillful, whatever you are, whether you have a big name, you are out of the game for that moment. So you have to listen to the referee. You have a big name. Everybody respects you. Maybe some people have paid long distance to just come watch that player there. But if that player becomes very disrespectful to the referee, who is the authority on the ground? Whether that referee does something wrong or right, whatever judgment the referee makes at that moment, that's what stands. Amen. Praise the living God. Maybe after the whole thing, they can look into his decision and maybe disqualify him not to be in charge of that game at that moment. But for that particular game, while he is there, he is the authority. Praise the living God. So whatever decision he takes to punish someone, it stands. So the prophet, I see also the prophet, when he is on the ground, he is like that. Praise the living God. That is why if even you disrespect the prophet, you are in trouble. Whatever, if a prophet says anything against you, that is it. Jesus Christ, one time he was hungry. He was passing by trees. There are many, many trees, but he walked towards one of them. He needed food from that tree. It's a God prophet. At that moment, there was no fruit that the tree could bear. And the tree symbolizes human being. And then Jesus Christ cursed the tree. Praise the living God. From the roots, the scripture says, from the roots, nothing came out of it anymore. So if a prophet is an embodiment of God. If a prophet speaks something against you, that's final. If you upset a prophet also, you are in trouble. If you speak something against the prophet, you are in trouble. Praise the living God. There are many areas I will have to read here. I have a note here about Mrs. Weber. Mrs. Weber spoke on behalf of Brother Branham when some callous people were arrogantly criticizing Brother Branham. Mrs. Weber, already God has spoken to the prophet that he has seen a vision. The angel of the Lord came and visited the prophet. That Mrs. Weber is going to die. And he went and told his relatives that he's going to die. She's going to die. And eventually, after that, Mrs. Weber was in the gathering of people who were disrespectful about Brother Branham. They were talking arrogantly about him. Then she said that, I don't know what you are talking about, but as far as I know, from the time I have seen this man, because Mrs. Weber was an elderly man, saw Brother Branham coming up, saw the gift, he respected Brother Branham, and she said that, I know he is a servant of God. After that meeting, when she returned home, the angel of the Lord went back to Brother Branham and said that, go and tell the Weber family that Mrs. Weber will not die again from that signal, because I heard her. Praise the living God. He said, I heard what she was saying when she was talking. Let me just read it so that way you can understand very well. A lady in my church, this is Brother Branham now in the message, make the valley full of dishes. A lady in my church, Brother Bila, and Mrs. Weber, she was dying with TB. She was in the sanatorium at the last stages. They sent her home to die. Said there is nothing could be done for her. Mrs. Grace Weber in Jeffersonville. She lived just beyond the tabernacle. And she had a gut, 5 or 6 little children. So the angel of the Lord come to me that night and said, go tell Mrs. Weber and tell Mr. Weber, rather, to get things ready. For he is going to be left with those children on his hands. For his wife's going. Well, I went and told Mr. Weber. I told his little girl, little Jane Rose, which is a nurse now. She was a little bitty fellow then. She's a young lady now. It's been 7 years ago or more. I said, now, Jenny, your mother's going to die. She can't live but a little while longer. 2 days after that, or 3 days, there was some ladies from the government depot there where she walked. Come in, and she and Grace, Mrs. Weber, said, if I could only have Brother Bill to pray for me once more, she said, I seen when my cousin Opal was healed with that cancer, and the doctor just gave her till morning to live. And her daughters, a nurse also, said, and that the girls from out of the government where she worked with her said, there ain't nothing to that guy, said. Isn't nothing but a hypocrite, said. That's all that religion is. It's just a bunch of fake fanaticism. And to Miss Weber said. And so Miss Weber said, look, I'm a dying, and now I know that, but I just won't stand still for that, she said. I know better than that, she said. I lived here around this city, around that man all the time. I seen him from a child, grown up, she said. I know, she said. You can call it fake if you want to, she said. But I've seen it just as so much and seen God heal the people, she said. And I know the man's life, and I know it's the truth. And it happened to the angel of the Lord, heard that, and that very night, sitting on the side of my chair in the room, after I got up and went and got a drink of water, about 3 o'clock in the morning, and sitting on a chair, I seen him come walking through the door. He said, tomorrow, Sunday, that they are going to pick Mrs. Weber up and bring her down. She will be sitting on the right-hand side, far back in the tabernacle, said. I heard her, and tell her, I heard her, what she said, and tell her, thus says the Lord, she will live and not die. See, there you are. You can go down and see her if you would like to. Being about 7 years ago, all right, his presence was there when she was taken off for what was right. His presence was there, and he found her. So he come and told me that she had said what she said to these women, and said, and he had respect to her because she had respect unto what was representing God. So God will do the same thing for you, not to respect me, but to respect him, to Christ, the one who died for your healing. If you just give respect to him and his word, God will do the work for you. Amen. That's right. Praise the living God. This testimony is from the sermon Abraham preached, Make the Valley Full of Ditches. That this woman, you see, sometimes, even you are in critical situation. This woman, Mrs. Weber, should have been disgruntled now and been coming have anxiety and be maybe giving her mind up to negative and death spirit, because death spirit was already around her that she was going to die. But even in that situation, she held upon the word of God. And she was talking nice about the prophet, and then arrogant guys were talking, trying to demean the prophet. So this arrogant spirit that is around today, it did not just start. Even when Brother Brown was around, it was around. This just had aggravated. Because when the devil starts doing something, just build on it and build on it and build on it. They call him Brother Abraham as a hypocrite. And why they were speaking arrogant statement against the prophet, and Mrs. Weber, rebuked them and stood spoke on behalf of Brother Abraham when he was not there. The angel of the Lord said, I heard her. See? So even in your conversation, somebody is trying to be disrespectful against a prophet or against your pastor, or against a man of God, and it's trying to be disrespectful, and you rebuke that person, God will vindicate you. Mrs. Weber did not take sides. She did not remain silent about it this time around. It was, she was dying, but she her confession brought her healing. She spoke something positive on behalf of a man of God. And that thing she said, the angel of the Lord said, I heard her. What you say, even when you are alone, sometimes you are disgruntled or something is happening negative. Don't give yield. Don't yield to the devil. In critical times, The decision you make, God is watching you, the decision you will make. Hezekiah also was in that kind of condition. Same thing that happened. The prophet had already said, see, things that had happened, they happened all in Brother Abraham's lifetime. All the Bible that was written from Genesis to Revelation, everything, if you read the prophet, everything happened in Hezekiah's situation with Isaiah. The same thing with Mrs. Weber. After the prophet Isaiah has come to Hezekiah and said that you are going to die, the whole people, the people around him now, we are worried. But one thing you will learn about Hezekiah. Hezekiah decided to be remain respectful. He turned his face to the wall and he offered his prayers. Now, God, you know my heart. You know, I have been working with you. So do not allow my life to go at this time. When he will pray, Brother Brian said, at that time, when you look up Hezekiah's statement, Brother Brian said, see, at that time when he was praying now, it's face to face with God. He was now talking with God face to face. But when about his healing, God did not speak to him anymore. He went back to Isaiah and spoke to Isaiah. And Isaiah came with a message that, okay, I first said that you are going to die, but the Lord has said to me now that you are going to have 15 more years. If it is this time, they will say, okay, well, the prophet said this, he contradicted his statement again. He has brought it. He has said two statements. Today, people are saying that if Abraham said this state in this part and he said it in another part, a prophet of God is always a prophet of God. In the beginning, what he said and the last time what he said is not against the word of God. Isaiah came and said one statement. He heard it from God. And later on, he came again. He heard again from God and he came and said, can you say Isaiah was a false prophet? He was not a false prophet. Prophets can only speak when they hear from God. And when they see vision. They can never speak if they don't see vision. So that's why you have to submit to a prophet. If a prophet says something you don't understand, will you remain still submissive to him? So this man Hezekiah will have been disgruntled. But he did not. He did not give in to any foolish thinking. He did not give himself to anything that is arrogant. He did not give himself to anything that is negative from the devil. All the communications of the devil, maybe at that time now, that angel may have come around him, talking to him here and there, but he did not give him to that. He remained respectful. And because of that, God had to extend his life. Now, we know that submission is a law. Once you submit, you are in the will of God. In critical times, especially, once you submit, God stands with you right away. Then Jesus came. In that message, Brother Abraham said that God, in every time you are in trial, God is watching you. The decision you will make is what will vindicate you, your decision. And the Hebrew children, when they were in that trial situation, they decide, we are now in condition, whether they should submit to the devil or they should submit to God. In that condition they were. But the scripture said that, resist the devil. God did not say to authorize or to resist his prophet, or to resist his word, but to resist the devil. No matter who the devil uses, if the devil uses the president of the nation, resist the spirit upon him. If the devil uses the mayor of the city, resist that spirit. If the devil uses whoever the devil uses, resist the devil. He did not say, well, resist the devil in this area, but don't resist the devil in another. He said, resist the devil. If the devil is even coming into your own mind, that is the greatest war that takes place. If the devil is coming into your own mind, resist him. But one thing the Bible did not tell us to do, not ever do, is a dangerous ground to tread upon, is to resist the word of God or to resist his prophets. When you do that, you are out of the will of God. So at that moment, they are now in critical condition, whether they should resist the king, or they should resist God. They decided that if their lives were going to go, this will be temporary, but they will have eternal life. So they trusted that king, in this matter, we don't mind if you, our lives will go, but we rather prefer to submit to God. So they resisted the king's command. They resisted the decrees of the king at that moment. And because they took that decision, the fourth man came. When they were thrown, the fourth man came, which is Christ. Praise the living God. So Ruth also, Ruth, we can see in the scripture. When Brother Brown said a statement here about Ruth, he said, listen, Ruth, the Moabite, a Gentile carried away with dumb idols like we were. When it came time, Naomi kissed her and said, go back to your people and with your people. I will go alone. But she said, let your people be my people. Let me live where you live. Let me die where you die. And let me be buried where you are buried. And the message, an end sign. So it was a decision that Ruth took. Both of them, Ruth and Orpah, they were all Moabite girls. They came into marriage like a hopeful woman. When she is married, she wants to have house, she wants to have kids, and she wants to have a lot of money. But now, here's Ruth and Orpah. Oh, what their hopes were to get into the marriage. Their husbands were gone. Nothing else they had that was left. But while they were in that marriage, even though now they look disappointed at that time, but Ruth discovered the God in that marriage, which she did not have in her own among her people. That is one thing Ruth got revelation about. And she decided that no matter if she is discouraged or whatever happens around her, or whatever how justifiable Naomi's message could look to them, or how they may look critical it may be for them, you know, how the kind of wisdom of the wisdom they could derive out of it, that indeed Naomi is not going to have any other child, or they do not have anything, so they can go. Orpah reasoned. She gave in to cleverness, and she went back, and once she went back, that's it. The Bible did not make any record about her. And then Ruth, she decided to hold on to God. Praise the living God. She held on God. And it was like she doesn't have a hope anymore. But she was going, she kept following Naomi. And then later on, because she held, she made the right decision. Naomi gave her a relationship coach. And then she went into a garden of the king, and then she got married in that family, and all throughout the lineage, you can see that in that same lineage of Ruth, we have even Christ coming out there. So Ruth made a very critical decision at that moment, and then God kept her in history. Praise the living God. Her name was not erased anymore in the Bible. Her name continued right around in the scripture. So we know that when you submit, you may appear foolish, or you may appear as somebody who is not wise. And the wisdom of this world, you know, is foolishness to God. And sometimes what is foolishness, the devil can call foolishness, is what God vindicates. Praise the living God. And everything, in fact, that you can see that the whole world embraces, you can know that God is not in it. Praise the living God. God is in the minority. And God is always in separation. And God is with the truth. And the truth is not popular. The truth is not famous. And so there is also a present truth that God has given unto us. The present truth does not have to be popular. It doesn't have to be famous. And so we have to submit to it. And it doesn't have to make us to be wise, or it doesn't have to make people, it doesn't have to be reasonable, because all the devil can do is to come make you to reason. And his reasoning, even when you look into it, that what God, the position God has given you, he wants to lower that standard. There was nothing the devil was offering Eve that Eve did not have. He said, you will become like God. They were already like God. He said, you will be like this, you will be like that. What position, what kind of comfort that Eve did not have? She had it already. And I yielding to the, submitting to the devil, it dropped her. It made her to, made Eve to be drifted away from her privileges. And suffering crept in, diseases and suffering, all kind of things came in. So every time the devil comes around you to commit a sin, know that it's trying to, that one sin will is like a chain reaction. The devil's appearance to people is like a chain reaction. He brings one sin to you, another one is following, another one is following, another one is following. That's what the devil can do. When the devil came to Samson, and Samson gave his gifts to God, but he did not give his heart to God. Praise the living God. So once the devil gets your finger, he'll hold your whole hand. Now the devil did not only get the information about his strength, but when he got that information, he gave his heart to a woman, and then once he get the information, the secret that he was holding him, the devil got it. The devil did not stop there. He punched his eyes. Praise the living God. So the devil doesn't, you don't play with the devil. Satan, you resist the devil. When God says that resist the devil, he knows what he's talking about. There's nothing like a small sin. There's nothing like a minor sin. Every sin is major before God. Praise the living God. If the devil takes you in one direction and you do not repent, he is going to drag you far. And if you don't be careful, you may not be able to recover. Praise the living God. So you have to always listen to the still small voice. Now here was a man who was called Elisha. I think we should stop at 9 o'clock, right? Okay. There was a man whose name was Elisha, who poured water on Elijah's hands. And the message marked the valley full of dishes. It said, Elisha poured water on Elijah's hands. And Elisha types the church. And Elijah types Christ. Praise the living God. We can see that when you comfort, when you respect the prophet, in another word, you will have a double portion. You will get a reward for comforting the prophet. For standing with the prophet in critical. Elisha, while he was on his way, the prophet himself said something that if he was a carnal man or he was hanging on the fence, he himself would have gone back. But one thing, when God calls you, you have to burn the bridge. Praise the living God. If God calls you, you cross the bridge, there's over there, and there is over there to God. You cross the bridge. One thing you can know is to burn the bridge. Because if the bridge remains, you can't go back. Praise the living God. If you burn the bridge, there's no more hope. When Elisha was called, what he had, he got rid of it completely. So there was nothing that he could think of coming back. He forsook his family completely. He forsook everything. He gave his whole life to Elijah. There was nothing he was imagining again for. So if you don't burn the bridge, maybe there was a sin or association, friendship you used to go, some kind of people you used to hang around with, and you are still having phone conversation, or sometimes you can go around and check on them. You say, well, oh, they are my school friends, or these people, they are people that they like me, or this and that. You have to burn the bridge. Praise the living God. Let the people know that. I mean, you used to wear pants, but now you are a believer. There is no job in this world that can put pants on you again. Even if you are a nursing girl, you have to wear a skirt. Praise the living God. You burn the bridge. And if your employer knows that you are standing for God and they try you a little bit, they respect you for that. That's one thing you know. So Elisha burnt the bridge. And Elisha was following Elijah. The other prophets will come and say critical situation statements to Elisha. But Elisha will say, as the soul of my master lives, I keep following. Wherever he goes, there I will go. And then when Elijah wants water, he needs anything, he will come. Bible says that Elisha poured water. He poured water in Elijah's hand. Praise the living God. And because of that, God did not leave him like that. When you stand with a prophet, when you stand with the word of God, God will stand with you. And God will not leave you like that. And God will not disappoint you. Praise the living God. So here I will read a few verses before, few statements here. The prophet said about submission and what is we are to submit to. And the Seven Church Age book, the Pergamon Church Age, page 169. The evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost today is just the same as it was back in the day of our Lord. It is receiving the word of truth for the day in which you live. Jesus never did stress the importance of the works as he did the word. He knew that if the people got the word, the works would follow. That is Bible. Now Jesus knew that there was going to be a terrible drift away from the world in the Pergamon age, which was as yet 200 years off from the Patmos vision. He knew that drift would cause them to go into the dark ages. He knew that the way man originally got away from God was by first leaving the world. If you leave the world, you have left God. Thus, he is presenting himself to the church at Pergamos, and indeed to all churches of all ages. I am the word. If you want deity in your midst, then welcome and receive the word. Don't ever let anyone or anything get between you and that word. This which I am giving you, the word, is a revelation of myself. I am the word. Remember that. So here, you don't let anything get between you and the word of God when you come to Christ. You have to fully submit yourself to the word of God. You have to fully submit yourself to the message of your day. Praise the living God. Here, in fact, another statement where Brother Abraham was speaking that where we have to subject how Christ, you see, and the members of the virgin bride will love him and they will love his potentials. For he is their head, and all power belongs to him. They are subject to him. Now you see the word subject, that they are subject to him. As the members of our bodies are subject to our heads. Now, another point here again, we are talking about where the people needed to submit to the authority of the prophet. Here, Brother Abraham said one statement here, which I want you to remember. And let us take a scriptural warning here. Was it not in the days of Moses, whom God had vindicated, that Korah rose up and withstood that mighty prophet? He disputed with Moses and claimed that he had as much from God to lead the people, and that others shared in the divine revelation as well as did Moses. He denied the authority of Moses. Now the people back there, after they had heard the true word, and we are well acquainted with the fact that a true prophet was vindicated of God, I say those people fell for Korah and his gainsayings. Korah was not a scriptural prophet, but the people in great numbers with their leaders went for him. I see. So the population, like I said before, that when the crowd is falling is on one side, that doesn't mean that God is on that side. Praise the living God. At that time, the whole population followed Korah. It sounded as if Korah was a famous guy, and he was on the winning side. But what happened to him? He got himself in destruction, and all those that follow him. So you don't despise a prophet. If you resist a prophet, it's a sin. If you disrespect a prophet of God or a servant of God, it's a sin. For example, if you are in this church, for example, and you are disrespectful to your pastor, you don't respect him, you better leave this church and find another church, because if you are here, God will not raise you above your pastor. Praise the living God. The servant of God is the elder. There's no bishop. Praise the living God. The pastor of the local church is the elder. And he represents the prophet of God on the ground. And he is the one that God is using. You disrespect him, you have disrespected God. You despise him, you have despised God. So disrespecting an authority is a crime. It's a moral offense. That's a very bad thing to do. When someone is given an authority, if you don't want to live in Connecticut, you can leave Connecticut, but you cannot live in Connecticut and despise the police officers that are here. Praise the living God. You better live here. That's the same thing like in the church. Praise the living God. He is God's servant. And the prophet of God is the one that God uses. He's the one that God speaks to. Even like I said, I read to you, Brother Abraham preached about it many, many times, Ezekiah. Even at that time now, he said the right prayer, but in answering his prayer, God had to speak to Isaiah again, for Isaiah to come and speak to him. God doesn't despise his order. His order is submission. And God believes in his own laws. When he created the world, he believed in his own word for every word to come to pass. So the law of obedience is God's program. It has been the program of God from the beginning and unto the end. Christ, when he came, he was obedient. So even human people that were raising him up as a child. Well, sometimes you will say, well, as a little child, you say, well, I'm a little bit gifted than my mother and my father, so I don't have to respect them. Jesus Christ, he had revelation about who he was. He was more gifted than Mary and Joseph, but the scripture says he was subject to him. So you can't say, well, okay, well, I'm more eloquent, I'm more intelligent than my husband, so I don't need my husband's guidance anymore. I don't need his leadership. But that you're out of order if you do like things like that. Praise the living God. If you are praying in a church and God can show you vision and God can answer your prayer, God is doing divine healing in your life. You are not above your pastor. Praise the living God. That's why some people, they don't even know what is discipleship. They don't know discipleship, so because they don't understand submission. And so because they are not well discipled, they can come and then they don't even know how to start a church. Brother Brian said, you cannot start a church by splitting another church. If you want to start a church, you can do it like how Jesus Christ did. He went to Simon Peter, he met him, he was fishing, and he did a miracle, and Simon Peter saw what he was doing and he followed. He went to Matthew, he saw Matthew was on his duty, and then he said, come follow me. So if you are a man of God, you cannot come and then think that you have so gifted, so you cannot submit to your pastor, and you take away his members and go and start. There are people that God hates. Praise the living God. blasphemers, those that sow discord among brethren, scoffers, hypocrites. The scripture says, read the scripture. God hates that kind of people, those kind of people. If you have that spirit on you to sow discord among brethren or to divide family, you say, well, okay, you can come and whisper words in the ear of your of somebody's wife so that the wife will go against his her husband. You are out of order. That's not Christianity. Or you can come and the devil sometimes, how the devil enters, he enters through the woman. When God is speaking, God speaks to the man. When God was speaking to the family, first family, he will always address Adam. But when the devil came in, knowing that he is the sower of discord, he went to the man's family. He spoke to his wife. Praise the living God. You cannot take a man's wife's heart away from him. That's a sin. Praise the living God. Even to sow a discord. People who are not submissive, they don't have complete submission on them. They sow discord, even in family. They sow discord in churches. They sow discord at workplaces. Look at people who are trying to be political, even at work, anywhere. They don't understand submission. If you understand submission, you will follow the order of God. So let us rise up on our feet. We sing the song, Amen, Amen. 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 Do you believe in me? My boy is true. Hey. I don't believe in Amen. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Hey. I don't believe him. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. Prophet is true. Do you believe him? I don't believe him. Christ, we thank you for your word that we have heard. Lord, as we are leaving this place, Father, may you help the word. Lord Jesus Christ, that we will hide the word in our hearts, that we will not sin against you, Father. Help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to submit ourselves unto you, O Father, and resist the devil. Wherever we are, O Father God, help us to be obedient to authority. As Lord Abraham, you call Abraham, he submitted to you. You let all his children to submit to their fathers. All the patriarchs, they submitted to their fathers. They feared their fathers. Father God Almighty, may your grace, O Father God, help us to understand the concept of submission so that we will prosper in everything we are doing, Father God. Spiritually, O Father God, we will prosper, O Father God, that we will receive divine healing, O Father, that will submit to the word of God. Everywhere we go, Father God, if the devil is ministering in our minds, help us to resist the devil and submit to the word of God. We thank you, Father God. Help us to stand our ground as children of God. We glorify you, we adore you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Key of D, 157. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain. There's an army, there's an army rising up. Yes, there's an army rising up. And there's an army rising up to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I can hear, and I can hear those chains, they're falling. I can hear those chains, they're falling. Yes, I can hear those chains, they're falling. He'll break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. He'll break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's a bride, and there's a bride, she's rising up. Yes, there's a bride, she's rising up. And there's a bride, she's rising up. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's still power in the name of Jesus. There's still power in the name of Jesus. And there's still power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Amen. Amen. You believe it? Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for this evening, Lord, just coming to this place and meeting us here, Lord. Just pray that you would be with us, Lord, each on our separate ways, Lord. May you just be with us until we meet again, Lord. We pray in your precious name. Amen. F. Oh, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming forth to carry me home. It was a band of angels coming after me, coming forth to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me home. If you get there, if you get there before I do, coming forth to carry me home. Tell all my friends I'm a coming too, coming forth to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me home. Oh, sometimes I'm up and sometimes I'm down, coming forth to carry me home. But still my soul feels heavenly bound, coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Amen. You may be dismissed as we sing this last song. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Oh, it makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captives free. Oh, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me, oh, that life abundantly. Oh, and I've got a river of life flowing out.